I've got a job, he told her proudly.
Doing what?
She asked. Securities, said Richard.
I was a dancer, said the old woman,
and she tottered awkwardly around the pavement, humming tunelessly to herself. Then she teetered from side to side like a spinning top coming to rest, and finally she stopped, facing Richard.
Hold out your hand, she told him, and I'll tell your fortune.
He did as he was told. She put her old hand into his and held it tightly, and then she blinked a few times, like an owl who had swallowed a mouse that was beginning to disagree with it.
You got a long way to go, she said, puzzled.
London, Richard told her.
Not just London.
The old woman paused.
Not any London I know.
It started to rain, then softly.
I'm sorry, she said. It starts with doors.
Doors? She nodded.
Open up, the monster said, its voice as clear as if the window wasn't between them. I want to talk to you.
Yeah, sure, Connor said, keeping his voice low, because that's what monsters always want, to talk. The monster smiled. It was a ghastly sight.
If I must force my way in, it said, I will do so happily.
It raised a gnarled woody fist to punch through the wall of Connor's bedroom.
No, Connor said. I don't want you to wake my mum.
Then come outside,
the monster said. And even in his room, Connor's nose filled with the moist smell of earth and wood and sap.
What do you want from me?
Connor said. The monster pressed its face close to the window.
It is not what I want from you, Connor O'Malley, it said. It is what you want from me.
I don't want anything from you, Connor said.
Not yet, said the monster, but you will.
Percy sat down with his friends and listened as they told how the storm had brought down the great tree.
And now we have nowhere to live, said the badger. Some of us lived in the tree, and some of us lived under it. But we're all homeless now.
Some of the rabbits looked close to tears, and the fox was very sniffy. Percy passed him his handkerchief, and the fox blew his nose. Percy stood up.
We'll just have to find you somewhere else to live, he said.
Come on, everybody. Jump into my wheelbarrow.
The animals felt better now that Percy was with them. First, he took them to the pine wood, but nobody wanted to live there.
Too dark,
squeaked the mice.
Too gloomy,
said the hedgehog. So Percy took them to the shrubbery. But nobody wanted to live in the shrubbery either.
No big trees,
complained the squirrels.
No big roots,
moaned the rabbits.
Never mind, said Percy. We'll try across the stream.
Mr. Wilbraham did not seem terribly fond of me, but I took comfort in knowing he didn't seem terribly fond of anyone. As soon as he buzzed me in that morning, he raised a small pink phone memo from his immaculate desktop.
Mr. Dent requests your presence in his office as soon as you've arrived.
I've arrived.
Duly noted.
Mr. Wilbraham opened his fingers. The pink sheet of paper dropped from his hand and floated into the wastebasket. He buzzed me through the next set of doors, and I went down a hallway with a dove gray carpet. Halfway down, there was an office used by subcontractors like me when we had to log office hours on behalf of the company. It was empty this morning, which meant I had squatter's rights. I entered and allowed myself the brief fantasy that it would be mine, permanently, by day's end. I cleared the thought from my head and dropped my bags on the desk.